Okay, it's part three of our series, our mini-series on the Piyas Etzner, in our larger series called Revolutionaries. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. Although it's serious work, but those are not mutually exclusive. Trying to work out some meditative techniques of the Piyas Etzner Rebbe. No candles involved, no soft music in the background, although you can if you want, I guess. But just learning to use our minds in the proper way. And just to raise the stakes a little bit. We don't normally do this, normally I just leave it there and I don't mention it, but I always try to put a little quote on the top to kind of frame the... I don't usually read it, but it usually comes from one of the sources that we're reading along the way. But just to, you know, as I said, raise the stakes. So the Rebbe wrote regarding the things that we're going to learn, Mirtz Hashem, over the next 45 minutes to an hour. So the Rebbe wrote, if you have already tried everything without success, if we've tried every single cure-all, every step-by-step process to try to rouse our souls with all of our means, but it has not been aroused to lead to the conscious life, if we've tried over and over again, if everything we said so far in the first 7 shirim from Soloveitchik and the first 2 shirim from the Piyas Etzner, if none of that has worked to arouse our soul to lead the conscious life, this is what you should do. So that's what we're going to study today. The grandson of Baal Shem Tov wrote a sefer called Degel Machane Ephraim. Degel Machane Ephraim, yeah, please. Degel Machane Ephraim is a collection of Torahs on the Parsha. Hardly a single page goes by without a quote from his grandfather from the Baal Shem Tov. And it's a good thing, too, because the Baal Shem didn't write anything down. And for those of you who at the Yud Tes Kislev sale purchased the Sefer Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah, we have the Degel Machane Ephraim and maybe the Toldos Yaakov Yosef and a handful of others for him to thank, because this is really where all the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov come from. So the Degel Machane Ephraim writes, Yisrael, that the Jewish people, our name Yisrael, Osios Li Rosh. That the name Yisrael, the Jewish people's name Yisrael, is comprised of the letters Li Rosh. I have a head. Which means that in a certain way, our mission statement as the Jewish people is something special, something different, that finds its maximum expression in our minds. Li Rosh. I have a head. Hainu, shadavuk l'chachma shehu rosh u'makor mayim chayim. That a person can and should cling to wisdom, specifically chachma in the esoteric sense of the word, the makor mayim chayim. Ki ha'chachma tichye ba'aleha, because wisdom enlivens the soul of the one who has it. And now here, these famous words from the Baal Shem Tov, which echoed throughout the next several generations down to our generation. 8-9 generations from the Baal Shem Tov. U'bemakum shemachshavto shel adam, sham hu kulo. This statement of the Baal Shem Tov, which appears, I won't say countless, I'm sure you could count them, but many, many times in the writings of the Degel Machane Ephraim, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Rav Tzadok, much later, and many others, the teaching of B'makom Shemachshavto Shel Adam Sham Hu Kulo. In the place where a man's mind is, that is entirely where he is. Af Sheba'etzem Eino Omid B'makom Machshavto, even though, in truth, he is not standing geographically in that place, im kol zeh, and he quotes the Gemara in Erevin, Gufa basar resha grira. The head follows the body in the sense that, the body follows the head. The body, the gufa, is dragged after the head. In the sense that a person's mind is much more essential for defining where he is than where his body actually finds himself. Maaser from the Kedusha Slavi that one time after a Mincha Maariv in Berdichev, the main shtibel in Berdichev, the Rebbe, the Kedusha Slavi, walked over to one of the chever from the shul, and he gave him, he walked right over to him, he gave him like one of these Rav Moshe bear hugs, and he said, "Ah, shalom aleichem! Wow, welcome to Berdichev." And the guy was looking at the Berdichev like he was out of his mind. He's like, "Rebbe, I've been davening the shul for the past 20 years. I haven't left Berdichev. I was born and raised and never left Berdichev in my life." So the Kedusha Rebbe said, "It's not true." He said, "You're coming back from Leipzig right now. There's a big fair down in Leipzig, and that's where you're coming back from. Because during Mincha and Maariv, the whole time you were thinking about all the sales that are going on with your father-in-law who's in Leipzig, and you're hoping that, maybe he does well. And so I'm welcoming you back to Berdichev because you just came back from Leipzig." B'makom machshavto shel ish sham hu kula. The Avnei Nezer, who was a gon olam, his svarim, his shalos and tshuvos, his Sefer Eglei Tal and Shabbos are some of the most exquisite works of Lamdus that were produced in the previous generation. And the Shem Yishmuel, his son, records a teaching from his father who proved al pi halacha that this is not just some cute idea, but that he proved al pi halacha that b'makom machshavta shel adam sham hu kulo, that we are where our minds are. Our imagination, our ability to picture ourselves in a particular area, speaks much more to who we are and where we are than where we actually find ourselves physically. Divrei kvod kodesho avi ha'admor zecher tzadik levracha l'chaim l'mahaba, the words of my father, my saintly father, who proved that in the place where a person finds his mind, the place where a person is mishtokek l'sham, that he's yearning to be in that place, nechshav ki husham, it's considered that he is in that place, mimasnisen d'be'erevin, from a Mishnah, an explicit Mishnah in Erevin. The Mishnah says in Erevin, if a person is walking and they know that they want their Tchum Shabbos. Everybody knows what Tchum Shabbos is. Tchum Shabbos is that from the place where I create my resting place at the beginning of Shabbos, I have 2,000 amos in any direction. And from that place, I can walk 2,000 amos. Nothing to do with carrying, just talking about where I'm allowed to walk. Past that spot, I'm not allowed to walk. That's out of the Tchum. The Mishnah says explicitly in the fourth parak of Erevin, Mishnah Zion, Hayamakir Ilon Ogeder V'amar Shvisasi B'Ikaro. If a person says, as he's walking, I know, I could picture in my mind, I know that there's this, weeping willow tree about 15 minutes from here. I can't see it now with my physical eyes, but in my mind's eye, I could picture this tree, or this fence, or this physical marker. And the Mishnah says, I picture in my mind, I say, I want that to be my makom shvisa on Shabbos. So that will be my place where I enter into Shabbos when the sun goes down. And from that place, I could walk 2,000 amos in every direction. And I happen to be within 2,000 amos of that place, which means that if I started Shabbos there, I could be where I am right now. And even though the sun is about to set and I am not there, but I can picture in my mind that place. So the Mishnah says, I'm kona shvisa in that place. It's like I'm standing in that place at that very moment. It's like I'm standing underneath that tree, standing at the root of that tree, standing by that fence. Ki'ilo hayasham b'poel, it's like I've activated my body being alive in that place. We've joked many times before, but it's true. We'll come back to it later. Like I once heard from a dear friend of mine, that you could be in Yerushalayim and you could be sitting in Big Apple Pizza dreaming about New York, and you could be in New York City in a Jerusalem pizza dreaming about Yerushalayim. And b'makom machshavto shel ish, in the place where a person's mind is, you could be here, you could be in this Beis Medrash. And right now, you could be so far away from this Beis Medrash. And the fact that your body is here means absolutely nothing. You wouldn't be Kona Shvisa on Shabbos if you were thinking of that other place. And alternatively, B'chvod Alumni Week, you could find yourself for all but 1 week of the year outside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis Medrash. And you could be yearning and dreaming and thinking all the time about your Rebbeim and about your Makom over here and about the view from outside your window. And in a certain sense, more than we'd like to give credit to, Machshavto Shel Adam is more essential than where his body finds itself. To take it just one step further, or maybe it's not even further, but it's just a different angle, the Mishnah in Chagiga, an amazing Mishnah in Chagiga, about how, from a slightly different angle, mindfulness creates the reality. Being in a particular state of mind creates a particular state of body. The Mishnah says in Chagiga, Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, Hatove lechulin v'hochsak lechulin aser lemaiser. If a person goes to the mikvah and they think that I'm dipping into this mikvah to purify myself, to eat chulin al taharas hakodesh. There were certain people who ate, they wouldn't eat food unless they were in a state of purity, as a sort of preparatory state to be eating other things which do demand that I be in a state of kedusha. If a person is tovel chulin, a person is tovel in the mikvah in order to prepare himself to eat chulin, v'huchzak l'chulin, and that's what he's having in mind, that's where his mind is, aser l'maiser, he's not allowed to eat maiser. If he's tovel l'maiser, he's aser l'truma. If he's tovel l'truma, he's aser to eat kudshin. If he's tovel l'kudshin, he can't eat a chatas. If he's tovel l'chamor, he's mutter l'kal. If he tovels for something strong, if he says, I'm toveling now in the mikvah right now, on Erev Shabbos, I'm toveling right now so that I can eat, Karban Pesach. So again, we have Tumah, there's an issue of Tumah. But in terms of the Tahar, which is necessary to eat higher level things, it works for lower level things. But if I just Tovel and my mind is only concentrated, I just want to be prepared to be able to eat Meiser, I can't eat a Karban. As the Mishnah ends, Tovel v'lo huchsak ki'ilo lo Tovel. If I did the action but my mind was totally not there, Tovel v'lo huchsak, it's like I didn't go to the mikvah. If I was tovel and my mind was elsewhere, it's like I wasn't sitting in that body of water. If my mind wasn't attuned to what I was doing at that time, in a certain very real halachic sense, I was not in that place. Question?
Why are mitzvot in a tzricha kavana?
Say again.
Why are mitzvot in a tzricha kavana?
Why are mitzvot in a tzrichos kavana? Because even though, and again this is a longer conversation, but even though as I do a mitzvah, you know it's a big machlok, and there's caveats of what things do need kavana, eating needs kavana, nothing. But those mitzvahs that don't need kavana, and really this the idea that in general mitzvahs don't need kavana, it means that while it's true on the one hand, that where my mind is, so there are certainly certain mitzvos, and I'll argue that when it comes to geographical mitzvos of needing to be in a specific place, like by the Makom Mikdash, so you know that there's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says, what does it mean by carbon like Korban Pesach. It says if you're not there, so then you could bring the, if you're too far away, you could bring the Korban Pesach by Pesach Sheni. If you were like too far away or you were in a state of Tumah. So there's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says that you could even literally be right by the, you could be on the Temple Mount and not realize that you're there, and it's kiyu like you're not really there. So in Halacha, we do recognize that geography is determined by space, but if an action is done, and even in that sense, that even if a person's geographically not there, it doesn't mean that something is not happening to him when a person doesn't mitzvah. That's a longer conversation. In addition to this conversation of b'makom machshavta shel ish shamhu kulo being a general idea, it's especially important to be speaking about now as we're moving from Sefer Bereishis to Sefer Shmos. Everybody knows, certainly everyone should know, we're studying Shmos in Yeshiva. Golos has a lot more to do with a state of mind than a place. The Baal Shem Tov and the students of the Baal Shem Tov speak of something called Golos Hadas. Golos Hadas means being in an exiled state of mind. What's referred to in mystical Svarim as Mochen Dekatnos, being in a small-minded state, not being able to see big picture, think big picture, being stuck in my own mind without realizing that the borders, the barriers that are trapping me are really all up here. The Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz, Radzin, the Meshilach's son, the Beis Yaakov explained that we all picture Mitzrayim as this like barbed wire, dogs barking, guard towers. And if anybody here ever went to Poland, so it doesn't help, that adds to that picture. But if my ears were not deceiving me a little bit, what I was overhearing an echo of in the shir that was just going on here before, is that it's absolutely not the case. The Beis Yaakov says that it was totally open. Anyone could go and come as they pleased. But there was a Golos Hadas. People were so convinced. Almost on the level, you know, Eliezer Eved Avram said, I'm a slave, right? So I could be a slave. I have to be a slave. That's how I was born a slave. I could be a slave to some guy out there, or I could be a slave to the greatest person in the world, to Avram Avinu. I might as well be a slave to Avram Avinu if I have to be a slave. The Jewish people felt very much the same thing. They said, we're slaves. That's who we are. We were born as slaves. I'm definitely a slave. I know that. So if I have to be a slave, I might as well be a slave to the world's superpower. And nobody wanted to leave. Everybody wanted to be there. We were enslaved to our das. There was a golus hadas she'en kamo. And the truth is, there's nothing more enslaving than a person's mind. The Gemara says in Nedarim, and daf mem alef amar alef, amar abaye naktinan, we find that ein ani ela bideya. Poverty is all about a state of mind. I think some of us have spoken about this before. It's true on a very basic, simplistic sense, that poverty is all about a state of mind. In the sense that, as I once heard from Rav Yisrael Reisman on Motzei Shabbos, that Rav Reisman was talking about, he said, if you would think about what would be considered poor, Bizman Hazeh, the poorest person Bizman Hazeh, not the poorest, but people who are considered impoverished, Bizman Hazeh, have indoor plumbing. They go to the bathroom in their home. Those wealthy Jews who bore the last name Rothschild had to go outside in the freezing winter and put on their clothes in the middle of the night to go to some outhouse somewhere to go to the bathroom outside in the freezing cold. And they were considered the wealthiest. Anybody who would have that today would be, that's not even human. So in a certain simplistic sense, it's true. Ein ani ela bedas. What's considered poor? It depends on what the next guy has. And it's all a mind game. But on a deeper level, b'ma'arava amri, in Eretz Yisrael they used to say, in Eretz Yisrael you get the deeper level, d'da be kule, be, if a person has this, if a person has wisdom, you have everything. D'lo da be, my be. If a person doesn't have wisdom, you don't have das, you're missing everything. Dakani machaser, if you have acquired wisdom, if you've acquired a means of strengthening your mind's eye to be able to concentrate your mind and have complete control over it, so then you're not missing anything. Machaser, what could you possibly be missing? Da lo kani, but if you don't have control over your mind, ma kani, what have you really acquired? You've acquired nothing. One more note about Mitzrayim, just because we're holding by the Parshios, so we have to live with the times. And then we'll go to the PSX and we'll do a few exercises. Mesilas Yesharim famously points out in Perek Beis that this was exactly the trick of Paro. What we were talking about before, this propaganda machine which convinced the Jewish people we have to be slaves, we have to stay here. We were enslaved completely by our minds, Galus Hadas. The mechanism through which Paro did that was that he didn't give us a moment of mindfulness, of Yishuv Hadas, of being able to think straight. This is one of the craftiest tricks of the Yetzer Hara. And I would argue, as he will in a moment, that this is not only true of negative behavior. Lahachbir avodaso b'tmidus alibo b'nei adam ad shelo yishayir lahem revach lizbonin l'stakel v'yizaderechim holchim. To make us so busy, even busy with good things, that we have zero time. We have no time to stop and think and take inventory. And to say, how can I do this better? And what am I really doing here? And why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I'm so busy. Kal v'chomer if I'm busy with bad things. I still remember when I was teaching in high school, a certain kid, I can picture him, now Baruch Hashem is doing much better. Every moment with something in his ears, he had earphones in his ears. Because if for a second he was left to be thinking on his own, he would just explode. He needed constant stimuli to, and I was working with this yid real strong. Baruch Hashem, he broke through. But it's so hard because if you're constantly stimulated and you have no room to breathe, moving in from Parshas Vayigash to Vayechi and to Shmos, a Parshas Stuma, where there's no revach bein aparshos to think for a minute. Power understood that if we didn't have a moment, if liban ve'ineim shel Yisrael were nistimu, were closed up, we wouldn't have a moment to think, is this really where we want to be? Let's get out of here. Ki odehu she'ilulei hayush samim libam kimat kot adarcheicha. If they would for a moment place their hearts to think about what was going on, they would go crazy, they would kick, they would scream, they would get out of the situation. Vadai. Shemiyad hayu matchilim lehinachim imaseim. They would instantly be transformed into a world of regret, of charata, holechas miskaberes bahem, atshu ozu machet legamre. The Yitzhar knows that we would instantly, our own personal paro, if we had a moment to think, what am I doing with myself? So then we would leave the chet immediately. And yet, we create distractions so that we shouldn't have to think. And those distractions can come in positive forms and negative forms. They're talking too much about redemption. Of course he didn't want them to have time to make revolutionary activities. You know, they'll sit together, they'll be able to plan some way of escaping. But even more than that, he didn't want them to have a moment to think for a second, to even feel sorry for themselves. This is exactly the way that the Yitzhar works. Just add a little bit more to your workload, instead of qualitatively altering what we're already doing. Because the Yitzhar is a crafty soldier who's well learned in the art of trickery. But a person has to use chachma rabba. You have to use your mind. You have to train your mind to pull yourself out of yourself. And to raise your consciousness to a level where you can envision yourself outside of the Mitzrayim that you put yourself in. The Rebbe We'll look now at three or four different exercises that the Rebbe outlined for us, and his svarim are filled with them. The hardest part about this was trying to pick which ones to use and which ones not to use. But I took from a spectrum. Before we actually read from the words of the Piezetzner, just to add strength to what we're already talking about, and to add to the strength of what we'll feel when we read his words, some advice from the Rebbe himself, quoting from the grandfather of the Chida. Is b'sefer HaKadosh Or HaChama Mizikno Shel HaChida, a perish on the Zohar HaKadosh, the Parshas Vayeshev. He quotes from the Ramak, V'zeh L'shono, Ya'ayin B'chachma Shalom Mirabah. When a person looks at the wisdom of his Rebbe, and every single person who's sitting here has now, over the past few weeks, become a student of the Piezetzner. When you're looking into the wisdom of your Rebbe, if you want it to have its full effect, Yain b'chachma shalom mirabo, if a person is looking in the book, in the sefer, in the wisdom, in his notes, from Shir, maybe next year you won't be in this yeshiva, you'll be in a different yeshiva somewhere, and you were looking over your notes from Sefer Shmos, and you're looking at that chachma of your Rebbe. So the Ramak, we have a tradition from Rav Moshe Cordovero, and it goes back even earlier. Vayitzar tzurasa vayidbak nefesh b'nefesh. You should picture in your mind the face of your Rebbe. You should picture in your mind the face of the person. You might notice that every shir that I give in this series, there's a little picture of the person who we're learning from on the top. And so over the next 20 minutes or so, when we're going through these Torahs from the Rebbe, these exercises in trying to visualize our way to greatness, picture in your mind. Don't picture the person who's sitting here right now. But as we're being ma'ayin together in the chachma shal Rabbeinu of our Rebbe, so we have to picture the face of the Piezetzner Rebbe sharing this wisdom with us. Kemo Shapirish, Rebbe Abba, Beparshas Mishpatim, as Rebbe Abba explained already earlier before the Ramak, in Parshas Mishpatim in the Zohar, Shekasher Hayachoshev Umizdame Betzuras Rabbi Shimon, when he would think about the face of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he would picture his Rabbi's face long after Rabbi Shimon wasn't with him anymore. Haysa Halacha Mi'ira Alav. So then the Halacha, things would clarify for him. Umeinyon Dveikos Nefesh B'Nefesh. And this is the secret, this is the inyan of two souls clinging together. When you picture the face of the person that you're learning from, you're somehow able to attach yourself to their soul. So we'll go through a few exercises together. We'll start with Sur Meira. This is really terrifying, what we're about to read. Really terrifying. But it just hits home that when we're learning, this is just one example. You know, the Gemara says that a person who is somehow pounced upon by the Yetzer Hara, so he should be, you should be Osek B'Torah, Yasek B'Torah. If that doesn't work, say Kriya Shema. If that doesn't work, Yazkir Lo Yom HaMisa. You should think about the day of death. And the truth is that there are many passages in the Agadita that speak to us about visualizations. And instead of leaving them as this is consciously, what we're doing right now is consciously a hemsheikh of what we did the first 2 weeks. The first week about internalizing Torah, and last week about making it something which you're passionate about. The way to do that, the greatest mechanism to inspire that passion, to put yourself in that moment, is to go through these types of visualizations. This is just one example, but you can do this with endless Maimri Chazal. This is from the Sefer B'nei Machshava Tova. Really, if the Rebbe had his way, we wouldn't even be reading this, because the Rebbe said that this is supposed to be a secret pamphlet, which is for 1 in 1,000 Talmidim in a yeshiva. But those who published the Sefer already wrote at the beginning, what can we do without our Rebbe? We all need it so badly, even if it's only really for 1 in 1,000. We have to publish it, we have to learn these things, even though we're not really ra'oi. Im yef shar l'chal is'ora midaigo sha'avra. A person wants to feel a certain pachad of the temporariness, of the ephemeral nature of our lives. And we want to really feel that. So the Gemara says, Yazkir lo yom hamisa. Right? So anybody who knows me knows that this is not something we do normally. This is not. But once in a while, I think Revolbi writes in one of the first pieces in Ali Shur, he writes that in the Musar yeshivas, they would have, like once in a while, they'd have something called the Sudas Misa, where people would get together, and I guess they'd eat it, I don't know who would want to eat it or something like that, but they would get together and they would just think about the day of death. It's pretty serious. So those who are from the tradition of Ase Tov, this will sound a little bit strange. But Afal Pikin, it just shows you, look how powerful. You could, right now, I could tell you the chachma of Yazkir lo Yom HaMisa. If you feel like, you know, the Yitzhahara is overwhelming you, so then remember the day of death. Anybody feel any visceral reaction to that statement? So if we've already tried everything without success, and we haven't been aroused to the conscious life, this is what you should do. Says the Rebbe. It's not just an idea in a general klali type of way. The Gemara says that the Rishayim know. But that's our problem, we just know. We never bring it down. It's a general knowledge that doesn't break the heart. Yitzur, instead try the following. Ready for this? I apologize for what I'm about to do. Picture in your mind, and you're certainly invited to close your eyes right now if you'd like. Picture in your mind that you've come to that point that every person comes to, arichas yama mushnosav, and literally picture yourself. Picture yourself, you have gray hair, you have a long beard and payas. No, picture yourself, you have gray hair. It's your same face, but there's something different. It's a little older, it's a little wiser, it's a little more wrinkled. How are you looking at your children? You're in a bed. You're sick. You're surrounded by your children. You know that soon you're going to a place of worms and dirt. Ubinishmaso el derech she'ina yodea lo ana yelchosa. You're going to that place, your soul, like Rav Yochanan, who was sitting on his deathbed, he didn't know which way he was going. You don't know where your soul's going. You know where your body's going, but you don't know where your soul's going. Banav yisovavu. Your children are surrounded you, v'yivku v'yitzaku harei. Avi, Avi, your children are screaming out, Father, Father. O Avav, Mishpachto, those who love you, your family, Yemu, V'yikro, they're all calling your name. Hu Shomeo, Meivin Akol, he hears everything. V'yef Sharlo, La'ozer, Me'uma, but he can't help himself. Rotzeo, Mischanin, Hu Lachios, he wants so badly to live in those last moments. His breathing gets heavy, our breathing gets heavy. Aval Halev Dochek, but the heart is pushing. Ad kedeli spaka, you feel like you're going to explode. Your heart is exploding with the pressure. Vahagaron miskotzeitz ad kedeli achanek. Your heart is, your throat is starting to constrict. You feel like you're choking. Ubechazaka korim is nishmaso migrono velibo. His heart and his throat, his soul is torn out from them. Vechein acharkach kishemalav moso abeis olamo. And afterwards, he starts being taken to the. He sees himself. Next scene, he sees himself. He's being taken to the Beis Olamim. He's being taken to that place of burial. Bonav zematiach es rosho bakotel. His children are banging their heads against the wall. Tzolkin ubocha. They're crying and they're screaming. Avi avi echas avtanu. Don't leave us. How could you leave us? Halaad nikras men. Are you really going to be torn away from us? Vizu kshaleches es atzma la'aretz b'kol marat zorech. So Ekes Muleos, as you're being lowered into the ground, they're screaming, they're crying. Efshari Lachios Bladecha Avi, can I live without you, Father? Mi tein Mosi Tachtecha, who's going to take care of me now that you're gone? Dimos Vitzaka, tears and screaming, Zoramos Mimeno, they're pouring out from their eyes. Adjinidma Shekulo Chas V'Shalom Tispaka, you feel like the whole world is going to explode listening to this. Sherov Hilala, the moaning and the groaning, Vitzara Misperetzas mikirba, and it's too much to bear. Kolam machrid gam esachayim v'gam esamesim. It's a heart-rending scream that arouses the dead and the living, both. Gam kolam goim bebechi, tzorech homeh bocheh, v'sof kol sof kulam shavim lebeitam. But then, they put the last, and you hear the last whimpers, and people start walking away. Who Efo Mishar? Where are we? Where are you? Where's our body? It's in the ground. And you picture yourself. V'minishar. And who am I with? What surrounds me at this moment? Azbatach Yisrachek Gam Halev Ha'Evan. It's impossible to go through that exercise if you did it even half consciously. Instead of, I know in my mind, Yaskilo Yoma Misa. But the mind is so powerful that we can use our imaginations to literally go through those motions. And in a moment, we're going to come away from this place of death and more shchura and something much, much more beautiful. But the mind is so powerful, and we cheapen it by making things into ideas. And if a Jew would just go through the motions, the Rebbe writes in many places that if a person wants to daven with that fire, that passion we spoke about last week, so he quotes from the Chose of Lublin that the first thing you should do is start thinking about your children and how much you love them and be filled with a sense of love for your children, that natural love that a father has for his child. Or think about your love that you have for money. Or think about the love you have for a certain food. And let that kind of like grab you. And then focus that towards higher levels of Ava. A sense of fear, a sense of love. These things could be cultivated through the imagination. In a piece in Achshar Savreichim, the Rebbe takes us on a journey through Shal Shudis. You don't have to be sitting by Shal Shudis after a long Shabbos to feel the power of Shal Shudis. He does the same thing with Yom Kippur in a different piece. You don't have to be sitting by the Seder, surrounded by your grandparents. You don't have to be sitting in front of the Lubavitch Rebbe, Zechus Yagen Aleinu, to have Yechidus with the Lubavitch Rebbe. All you have to do is use your imagination, what you have, and to speak it out or just go through. And the problem is our minds are so weak. We can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 seconds. So we'll do another exercise. This is a different one. Shal Shudis. This is from Achshar Savrichim Perek Dalet, where he really talks about something. He gives tons of examples there. He walks, there's an amazing hemshich over there, it's maybe like 4 or 5 pages, where he walks you through the entire geula. And he makes like a visual plane for you. He's not just telling you the story of the geula, he's like helping you to envision everything. Each person has to think, use their mind's eye to make images in their mind, to make pictures in their mind. I'll give you an example from the third meal on Shabbos. How a person could be sitting on a random Tuesday night on a random college campus, and you could literally be sitting at a Tim Tam Slam. At a Rav Yair Tim Tam Slam in the old city of Yerushalayim. You could literally be in the middle of nowhere. But b'makom machshavto shalish shamhu kulo, and you could be sitting Thursday afternoon together with the rest of us in Rav Aaron's office as we're sharing some Torah on the Parsha, singing a little bit. You could be there. Avra lav haShabbos. A Shabbos has passed over you. Yom Kulo Shel Kedusha. It was such a holy day. Min Hashamayim Kadshu Escha. From the heavens above, they sanctified you. V'gam Ata Kidash Es Atzvecha B'Yom Hazeh. It was a latent thing that happened automatically from above, but it's also something that you worked on. You infused yourself with Kedusha. Lo Asakta B'Mesarcha. You weren't involved in any business. Lo Tialta B'Shvakim. You weren't in the Shuk U'Berchovos. Out in the streets, doing mundane things. V'loi kaltes roshcha, you weren't just battling away the day. Yeshavta b'hespodedus b'incha v'inkoncha, you were sitting a whole day long, learning and thinking and delving deeply into your relationship with Hashem. O yachad m'chavercha, you're sitting with your friends, asakta b'torah, v'siach shel kedusha v'chasidus, you were talking words of holiness, you were being mechazik one another. Kavasta es atzma, you laundered yourself. Mikol avak v'kesem sha'alu alecha b'chol ha'shvua. You laundered yourself from the entire, and you're picturing yourself in that state. You're sitting at the end of a long Shabbos. And you laundered yourself from every speck of dirt from a long week where you're covered in dirt. Bishtadalta levoad nafshecha, you tried to come to your soul. Ubechol shah v'shah hirgashta ba'atzmecha sha'ata ola b'matzav el-matzav. You felt like you were going higher and higher along the Shabbos. You were going from one level of holiness to even a level higher than that. Atshe karavta el shalosh seudos. And finally, you come to sit down by your meal by Shal Shudas. You're in the old city. You're sitting in Rav Binny's office downstairs. You're surrounded by your best friends. And the amazing thing is, you don't have to be, because b'makom achshavta shal ish shamu kula. And you have your favorite Rebbe from Yeshiva. It doesn't matter who it is. Your favorite Rebbe's there. And you could picture his face and you could hear his voice. And it doesn't even have to be someone you ever met. It could be someone who's not even alive. It could be the Piyazetz in the Rebbe sitting with you by Shal HaShodis. And you're sitting, Vayoshiv Atim Chavercha, Gam Kein Mevakshe Pnei Hashem. You're sitting with like-minded Jews who are also seeking out the face of God. Ubechoshech Atim Yoshim. You're sitting in darkness. This is my favorite line in the whole thing. Minhagi Yisrael Torahim. You're sitting in darkness, as is the holy custom of the Jewish people. Ki, listen this. Ki matimim heim es pulas haguf lematzav hanefesh ba'uso shah. Because sitting in darkness, it makes the soul and the body come together. Ki is choshech ve'is choshech. Because there's darkness and then there's darkness. I love that line. There's darkness and then there's darkness. Two types of darkness. There's a darkness where you're sitting in the dark and like you're very uncomfortable because like, where's the light? And then you're sitting in the darkness and it's like, you know, the lights go off at in Rav Yola's house Friday night and he says, ah, finally I can see. Is choshech ve is choshech. Veluya data, and if you would know, tishar kein tamid, if you knew you were going to sit in this room forever, you'd be okay. Ki az haisa nafshecha simchas simchas olam, you would be filled with an eternal joy. Aval nizkarta, but then you remember, sheba od rega yadliku neros. You remember that in a few seconds they're going to turn on the lights. They're going to light some candles and Shabbos is going to be over. V'shuv tipol yemos achol, you're going to fall back into the weekday. V'nafshcha maralan, and your heart starts to be pained that Shabbos is being ripped away from you. Eich tipol min achoshech shemayim arpele tahar, you're being tossed out from this heavenly darkness up there in the clouds. V'achoshech mitzrayim chashachas atzaros. Can you imagine if before you went into your own Shal Shabbos, you went through this process? That you can make it into anything you want. To prepare for Shabbos by going through what I want it to be and visualizing myself going through it. It's a very powerful experience. Hayadayim, the last line, Hayadayim kimat roados umachfasos ata. Ata imadi, you say, Ata imadi, Hashem, you're with me, and I know you're about to not be with me. I'm going back into the week. Hayadayim kimat roados, the hands are trembling. Achzatir velo arpenu, I'm holding on to Hashem. I'll never let go. Okay, we only have time for one or two more little quick things here. There are some people sitting in the room who are not in Eretz Yisrael. But as I said before, you don't have to be geographically in Eretz Yisrael to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Noam HaMelech, the Rebbe of Melech in Parshas Lech Lecha, explains along the lines of what it is that Hashem didn't tell Avram Avinu where he was going to be. He didn't tell him where the physical land he was going to end up is. That's a big kasha, everybody asks. Lech Lecha, Me'aretz Lecha, Me'aretzecha, 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 I'll show you where it is. But it doesn't really matter, as long as you're yearning to be in that place, in that place of consciousness in front of God, it doesn't matter if you're geographically there. Because b'makom achshavto shal ish shamhu kulo, that's where the person is, entire. So in source number 9, the Noam Elimelech, the Rav Melech, writes, Agav Oruch Nevar Masha Hikshu Olam Deis V'Gemara Hadar Be'Eretz Yisrael Doma Kemisha Yesh Lo Elokav Hadar B'Chutz La'Eretz Doma Kemisha Ein Lo Elokav. A person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's like he has a God. And someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's like he doesn't have a God. So says the Gemara. Says the Noam Elimelech, what does that mean? A person is like they don't have a God outside, and they're like they have a God inside. He said, because a person could be in Eretz Yisrael, and you could be like you have a God. You're surrounded in Eretz Yisrael. It says Chag Sameach on the buses. And you can't walk two steps around Hanukkah time without seeing jelly donuts and people selling menorahs. And you're completely swept up in this God nation. But you're yearning to be outside, so it's only Doma Kamishi Shalalaka, but you really don't have a God because you're not there. And you could be sitting on a train on your way to work. And you could be in the middle of Times Square, surrounded by people who don't understand you. And you could literally be sitting in Eretz Yisrael. And when a person goes through the process of davening, so the Noam Elimelech explains that a person should literally picture yourself wherever you are in the world. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Even if you're right here, you're right next to the Beis HaMikdash. It's, in a certain sense, this exercise is easier if you're further away. When you're sitting, or you're standing, and you're davening, and you close your eyes, and you take those three steps back, and you take your three steps forward. Before you open your mouth to speak, says the Noam Elimelech, picture yourself. Picture yourself like you're lifting up out of the place where you are and you're traveling over the ocean and literally visualize it. You're traveling over the ocean and you come and you see, it depends if you're more of a Shar Yafo Jew or you're more a Shar Tzion Jew, it depends. You picture yourself going through whatever gate you want, it doesn't even matter. And you picture yourself coming down through the gate or up the snake path, whatever you prefer. And you're walking down into the Rova Square, and from the Rova Square you walk down into that, you know, Burgers Bar is on the right, and there's that stone wall that's kind of falling over on the left side. Well, I guess if you're going the other way, it's the right side and the left side. And you walk down the stairs, and you picture yourself walking over to the Kotel. And the thing which some people say you're not allowed to do, you walk up that ramp, and you go straight onto Har Bayis, and everybody agrees you're not allowed to do this. You walk straight through Har Bayis to the Makom HaMikdash, and you walk right through the Kodesh Kedashim. And before you've even said the words Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agit Tilasecha, you've pictured yourself from wherever you are, whatever college campus you're on, whatever base of medrash you find yourself in, wherever you are in the world, it doesn't matter. You could be in Hong Kong, and you've traveled over the ocean, and you've gone down through the path down into the old city, and went down the steps to the Kotel, and then up the ramp, and you went to Kodesh Kedashim, and you're standing there, and at that moment, you open your mouth, and you say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Then, in that moment, the Gemara says, you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you're Dome Kemisha Ein Lo Elokai. You're like someone who doesn't have a God, but is there anybody who has a God more than that person in that moment? Okay, so he's not in Eretz Yisrael at the moment. He's not in the Beis Medrash at the moment. He's surrounded by a million wolves, all threatening to tear his neshama into a billion pieces. But he closes his eyes, and B'vakom Achshavto Shal Ish Sham Hu Kulo. We have time for one more piece, and then we'll end like we always do with a piece from Tzava Zeros from the Pizas Rebbe's diary. Really, this last piece demands more attention, and we could have spent the entire hour just learning this piece from Rabbi Nachman. In Torah Samach Aleph, in Simon Samach Aleph, in Ma'adura Basra, Rabbi Nachman explains that, as we already know from our good friend Albert Einstein, time is relative. We experience time relative to how fast we're moving. Time is experienced relative to the space that we're moving through. Rabbi Nachman explained, and I'm sure they'll get there soon, Mirtz Hashem, it's only a matter of time before somebody discovers this, that time is also relative not only to the speed that we're traveling at, but time is relative to how much we are activating and actualizing the potential of our seichel. Listen to these words of Rabbi Nachman, they're unbelievable. Hashem Yisbaruch Hu L'mala Me'azman Kamova. As we all know, Hashem is not bound by space and time. Hashem is not bound to time. V'ezeh inyan hu be'emes davar nifla v'nela ma'od. This is a wondrous thing which is boggles the mind. E'ef shar l'havin zos b'seich l'anoshi. The human mind is not equipped to even process such a thing. Not only did Hashem always exist, and will He always exist, but those two paradigms don't even exist in Hashem's world. He's both always existing, always had exist, and always will exist at the same time. Our mind cannot grasp this. Achda. But a little bit we can begin to understand it, says Rabbi Nachman. She'ikar azman hu rak machmas she'ein mevinim. Why is it that time progresses in the way that it does, and that we are bound to it in the way that we are? Dehainu machmas she'sechleinu katan. Because we are experiencing, every person on some level, galus hadas. Our seichel is not equipped to handle time. Ki kol masha seichel gadol biyoser. Because the more that a person's seichel is activated, the more that we're using our brains and activating our seichel, hazman niktan v'nisbatal biyoser. Time actually starts to disappear. Ki b'chalom, when a person is dreaming, says Rabbi Nachman, she'az haseichel nistalik, then a person's active mind is not using, is not being used. The only thing that he's using is a different part of his brain, as those who study sleep understand. It's a different part of the brain that's activated when a person is in rapid eye movement sleep. And that part of the brain is activating more the dimyon part, the imaginatory part of our brains, of our minds. But our seichel, our raw intellect, our mathematical type of intellect, is nistalik. It's not being activated at that moment. Ve'ein lo rak koach ha-medam, the only thing we have there is our imagination. Azai bereva sha'a, tell me if this ever happened to you. Then, in the matter of 15 minutes, in a reva sha'a, in a quarter of an hour, yachulum la'avar kol shivim shana. You could experience in a dream 70 years of time. With all the details and the whole thing happens, and all of a sudden you thought you were dreaming for 70, it's like 70 years passed by. There's like a whole story. Right? It was like a daytime and a nighttime, and someone was chasing you, and then you started like flying, and like all types of crazy things are happening, because your dimyon was activated, your seichel was put to the side. And it was like a long story, it was like a whole thing. And all of a sudden you wake up, and you look at your watch, and it's like, you know, there's like, excuse me, but there's like a little bit of drool on like your gemara or whatever, and like, right? And you realize, you look at your watch, and it was like 15 minutes just went by. In just a little bit of time, you can pass through much, much time. And what happens? When a person wakes up from the dream, what seemed when you were b'seichel katan, when just your dimyon was activated, it seemed like a really long period of time. But when you have seichel gadol, all of a sudden you realize that when you're viewing that same story, you can go through the entire story in a single instant. And you realize that it only took 15 minutes for that whole story to unfold in your mind. Because now that you've activated your higher level of seichel, what seemed like 70 minutes, or 70 years, was actually just 15 minutes. Rabbi Nachman says, skip down to the next paragraph, ube'emes b'aseichel agavo l'mal misechleinu. And the truth is, if we're able to elevate our seichel to a level higher than it is in our waking consciousness right now, because if you would ask all of us right now, are we awake? Right? So we would say, we're awake. Rabbi Nachman says, just like when a person is dreaming compared to when they then wake up afterwards, they realize that what they thought was such a long time was so short amount of time. The same thing is true. What we're experiencing now as our year in Oraita is just a quarter of an hour. What we experience is 70 years of life. Gam ma shenechshev etzleinu l'shivim shana mamish hu gam kein rak reva sha'a opachos. And Rabbi Nachman continues that, because our seichel, if we would expand it, would realize that what we experience now is a long time, and that's why Hashem doesn't experience any time. Valkain, last paragraph. Valkain Mashiach sha'avar lov masha'avar miyom bria sa'olam v'saval masha'saval. And therefore, what is the job of Mashiach? What is Mashiach going to come to do? Mashiach comes kemayim le'yam l'chasim, to spread wisdom throughout the world, to make our seichel so great. Shir hamalos b'shuv Hashem es Tzion hayinu kecholmim. That right now we have big tainas on Hashem. And they're real tainas. So much pain, so much suffering, such a long galus. But when we're elevated to the level of kemayim liyam chasim, and our minds are filled with a seichel unparalleled to anything we've ever experienced before, so then it'll seem like everything that we went through, all of the difficulty, all of the pain, all of the galus, kechalom. It's like that chalom that you could have sworn it was 70 years. You could have sworn it was 2,000 years of galus. But we'll wake up. Rabbi Nachman says, Mashiach will wake us up from that galus. We'll say, oh, we were just sleeping the whole time. And all that we thought was such a long time, it was all in our mind. It was all because we were bekatnas hadas, because we were in galus hadas. And we'll be redeemed from our personal mitzrayim. There's a little bit of homework. The next page, you can read it yourself. I can't imagine, although I have no proof of this, I tried to get my hands, I have a good friend who is always good for if you want a PDF of some dissertation here or there. I have a good friend, Menachem Butler, who's good, very easy to get any dissertation. So I tried to email him to get the, I know that somebody wrote a dissertation on the Piazetzner, and that they have a chapter that's dedicated to the connection between the Piazetzner and Menachem Eckstein. We're not going to read it right now, in 1921, in Vienna, Menachem Eckstein wrote a sefer called Tenai HaNefesh LaSagas HaChasidus. And I have no doubt that the Piazetzner Rebbe read that sefer. It has to be, because it's so similar in terms of... It's an amazing sefer. It's translated into English as Visions of a Compassionate World. The whole book, and this is homework and a gift for later. You can read it later. And you should get the sefer. It's an amazing sefer. It's the whole book is visualizations that he walks you through, unbelievable, of a wedding, of a unbelievable things to expand our souls because we don't feel anything. For people who feel like they're numb, this is like a must-have, this sefer. It helps to free us from our own numbness, to free us from our own mitzrayim. He walks you through unbelievable things. But we'll end with just one piece from Tzav Azir, the piece that's there. And we'll have to say goodbye to the Rebbe for the week until next week. This is from the Rebbe's diary. As I told you, Tzav Azir is not really clear if he wanted us to look at this or not. There's nothing really, no parallel literature anywhere in the Jewish world of a personal diary of a person on the caliber of the Piazetzner Rebbe, kind of talking about his own spiritual journey. So it's a short piece from which that original quote came. If you have already tried everything without success, if you have tried to rouse your soul with all your means, but it has not been aroused to lead the conscious life that it should, and to yearn for the spiritual life that behooves it, this is what you should do. Envision yourself as already the ideal spiritual person you really are. Don't look at yourself as David Weinberg, Tufshin, Ayin, Hay, or some derivative of that, each person for their own. But picture yourself who you want to be. Not just what you look like, but what you speak like. Picture what it looks like when you're eating a bowl of soup. Are you crouched over it, just kind of like shoveling it into your mouth? Are you eating it in a dignified way? From the smallest detail to picture yourself, what does it look like when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei? What does it look like when you're tucking your child into bed and they're kicking and screaming and saying they don't want to? So how are you holding your temper? And how are you explaining to them softly how much you love them? Envision yourself as already the ideal spiritual person you really are. It's amazing because on the one hand, it takes none of the work and the effort, but that itself is the work and the effort. If we would do this on a regular basis, if we would envision ourselves who we want to be, who we wish to be, it transfers. You know, there are experiments done all over the world. I'm sorry to interrupt just for a second, and we'll end this in a moment. There are experiments that were done with free throw shooting, to get mundane for a moment, where they would have people actually sit and practice for a half hour shooting free throws from the free throw line. And then they would have people sitting in a room visualizing themselves, squaring up and the whole thing, and putting their fingers in the right place, and kind of the release, and visualizing themselves releasing the ball and going into the hoop. And they found that people who visualized the exercise did at least as well, if not better, than the people who were actually going through it. So envision yourself as already the ideal spiritual person you really are. Because that's Be'etzim who we really are. Just imagine the greatness of your soul. Dot, dot, dot. Go off onto your own, do your own thing. See how your soul shines in God's garden in Eden, and He comes to enjoy your company with His holy entourage. Meditate deeply on these pictures. He's talking to himself. He's giving himself a little musr. Hold these images in your mind's eye, and inevitably you'll be aroused to a higher awareness. You do not want to sully your soul. Savor the bliss of embrace by the great Creator as you yearn to actualize this from the depths of your soul. We should be zocha. We should be zocha.